Hello and good evening everyone, and thank you for joining us today for Abha Power and Steel Limited H2 FY26 results call. I'm Drishti from Finporter Investor Relations team, and it's my pleasure to welcome to you all. We are joined today by Mr. Atish Agrawal, the Managing Director of Abha Power. So as a reminder, all the participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask the questions after the management remarks. Note that this meeting is being recorded. Let me now hand it over to Mr. Atish Agrawal to take you through the financial highlights and the operational highlights for this year. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Drishti. Hello, good evening, everyone. I'm Atish Agrawal. I'm pleased to share the financial performance of Abha Power and Steel Limited for the second half and full year for FY26. For H2 FY26, our revenue from operations stood at 27.65 crores. We reported an EBITDA of 1.78 crore, reflecting an EBITDA margin of 6.45%. And our profit after tax came in at 0.42 crore with a PAT margin of 1.55%. For the full year FY26, revenue from operations stood at rupees 62.22 crores. EBITDA for the whole year was 5.35 crores with an EBITDA margin of 8.6%. And the profit after tax came in at 2.46 crore rupees, reflecting a PAT margin of 3.95%. Now let me cover the key operational highlights for the second half of the year just concluded. In the second half of FY26, it was not so pleasant as what we have loved to have obtained, but with the margin pressures from incoming raw material cost and a price correction in one of the key segments, we have just survived the half yearly results. On the plant upgradation front, we have made a very significant progress. As per the fund utilization of our IPO expenses, we have already installed and started our electric arc furnace and one heat treatment furnace. So these two parts are already fully operational. Other than this, the automated molding line, the 20-ton heat treatment furnace, and other equipments and appliances are nearly completing their stages of commissioning, and we are on track to fully commission our complete plant by August 31st. Now, this upgradation will increase our molding capacity or sand processing capacity from currently 1,000 kg per hour to 35,000 kg per hour. That's a 35x jump in our molding capacity, and this will give us a transformational shift in our throughput journey. On the quality and accreditation front, I'm very pleased to share that we have achieved NABL accreditation for our foundry lab of Bilaspur. The accreditation has been awarded under ISO IEC 17025, and it has been given for our in-house laboratory. This establishes an internationally benchmarked testing capabilities within our own four walls, and it is also strengthening our quality assurance framework and the customer support, and it is significantly enhancing our customer confidence as well. It also signifies that the procedures that we have employed in Abha Power and Steel is up to the marks as per the international standards required by our esteemed customers. Our order book remains healthy at around 21.6 crores, and this gives us a near-term revenue visibility. On the railway front, we have achieved a very big breakthrough for which we were trying for the last couple of years. And finally, we have successfully developed two very critical coach components, and it has come into our commercial production. We have also secured very long-term orders for these two components from a major OEM. And this is in line with our vision to bring ourselves in the light of such customers who can see us as a long-term solution and not just one order or two order basis. We have also formally entered the defense sectors, what we were trying earlier also. And recently, we have secured two critical prototype castings. That's actually four parts. And this order has come directly from the defense PSU to us. And this has enabled us to cross a high barrier space. And we believe that good portion of our orders will come from the defense sector as well in the coming future. Regarding our expansion programs, we have already pulled in a couple of applications to RDSO. We are regularly in touch with them for this for final approval of our products. We have made application for, I think, 8-9 different products directly to RDSO, and which are in different stages of approval. For one product, it's in the final stage, and most probably we should get its approval within coming weeks. The main fundamentals are that the actions are in place, the pipeline is intact, and we expect that this whole mass will come into the picture in our performance in the coming periods. Okay, yes, with that, I would now hand the call back to the moderator for the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you to the management for the insightful overview. We will now to move on to the Q&A sessions. Participants who wish to ask a question, either unmute themselves when called upon or type their question in the Zoom Q&A box, and I will read it out on your behalf. The participants to raise their hand for asking the question. So we have received the questions. So the revenue has declined 20% HOH from 34.4 to 27.6 crore, and PAT has dropped. So can the management walk us through the exact quantum of impact from each factor, like insert price correction, order difference, and raw material cost inflation in absolute rupee terms?
Can you please repeat this thing?
So the revenue declined from 20% HOH from 34.6 crore to 27.6 crore, and the PAT has dropped. So can you walk us through the exact quantum of impact from each factor, like insert price correction and what order deferrals and raw material cost inflation in rupee terms?
All right. Yes, as we can see in the question itself that the reasons for this fall in this revenue and the PAT is straightforward for us this time. This fourth quarter has been quite challenging for us regarding the raw material point of view. We were constrained by a lot of other aspects as well, rather than just the raw material for this period. If we see in a quantum basis that the difference for this, the reason for this downfall, insert price costing was the major reason. As we can, we have some data for this that around 20% has been the decline in the price of the insert that we sell to our customers. Now, this insert part, devotes almost 50 to 60, 40 to 60% of our turnover comes from this single product, and its fall in the prices have impacted us tremendously. So, if you want me to denote the factor that has caused this kind of fall, I would say that 70% or 60-70% is the reason that drop in the insert price has caused this kind of fall in our revenues and the PAT. 20-30% is the raw material reason that has impacted our overall working in this H2 FY26, and 10% could be the reason, other reasons that we have factored in.
Okay, the next question is from Mr. Kamal Jeswani.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my question. Yeah, just continuation to the last question. I'm new to the company. If you can just let us know what exactly is this insert used for, and how is the prices I mean shaping up in this quarter so far?
Okay, this insert, thank you, Kamal, for your question. This insert is a part of railway ecosystem. It goes in the sleepers, concrete sleepers, that is used for this railway line manufacturing. So whenever there is a new line construction or overhauling of an old railway line, railway cement sleepers are being used. At the time of production of the cement sleepers, this is a steel iron casting part insert, which goes inside the mold of the sleeper, and it is casted during the production of sleeper itself. So we are one of the I would say pioneer producer of inserts in the Indian market, and our inserts are used by almost geographically said all over India. Different sleeper manufacturers prefer to use our inserts. So that was the point. And yes, the second part was how does the rates are looking in this quarter.
Right.
This right now the rates have improved a bit. We have been pressurizing our customers a lot regarding this correction in prices is required for this raw material and other geopolitical reasons, and they have accommodated a bit, and we have seen some corrections in the prices. Positive corrections, and we can see the things improving from here. Actually, it's a cyclic kind of thing. Every 2 or 3 years, these sleeper contracts with the railways gets exhausted, and the new contracts are not coming in. So there is a period of a few months in which this situation arises in every couple of years. So we can safely say that the worst part is already behind us, and now all the sleeper plants are almost up and running, or maybe they will come into production in this month or the next month. So we'll see a turnaround in the prices and the volume both for the insert at least.
Okay, thank you. And the second question was regarding this. In the opening remark, you had mentioned about production hike in one of the products 35 times. So, what is this exactly? This product I missed out listening to that. And also, what is how much is it contributing today? I mean, how much the turnover will increase once this capacity comes on stream?
Right.
Utilize.
So, Kamal, how this thing works is a foundry capacity is defined by how much liquid metal it can make. So, our foundry capacity was always there. Since we had diversified earlier in, I think, 10, 12 years ago from an ingot making unit to a steel foundry. So, we had a very high capacity induction furnaces. So we had a liquid metal capacity more than what we can utilize. Now, once you have the liquid metal, you need the downstream industries, so downstream manufacturing facilities to use that much liquid metal. Earlier than the earlier period, before our IPO, our system was not having that kind of manufacturing downstream to use that much of liquid metal. After the IPO expenses, we have put in the to really transform this foundry into a niche world-class product. And for that, we have put up an automatic molding line. Now, this automatic molding line, it increases our capacity 35 times. Earlier, what we used to take around, let's say, a whole day to make such 10 tons of molds. Now we can do it within 1 hour. So that is the capacity expansion that we have done. We have improved ourselves or upgraded ourselves to use that kind of liquid metal which is was already available to us. So it's a very key component or key part of the whole manufacturing process. In fact, if I can say so, it's the most critical part where the actual casting is being made. At the time of molding, if there is a single mistake, then your casting is not going to survive that. You'll have to reject it. So on the most critical part, we have doubled down. We have increased its capacity, utilization, and also its quality. Now, the quality of molds that we can manufacture is up to a very high standard or world-class standards. And this is helping us in getting orders of such critical nature that you have seen in the presentation and my opening remarks as well. So that is the main aspect that we have improved in the current past. You had some other question also, Kamal? I think.
Yeah, yeah. So how much turnover, how much will it contribute to the increase in turnover? I mean, once we start utilizing this properly?
I will not be able to say a direct number to this, but it has been our vision to take our capacity utilization from around 20-30% to above 90% in the steel foundry, I'm saying. So you can just do the calculation that if we are able to achieve that, because molding was the only aspect or one of the more biggest obstacle which was stopping us from going for the higher capacity utilization. So if we go that kind of utilization after we have upgraded our molding system, I think we have a very bright future to see.
Okay, so basically now we have to just utilize the capacity and that will increase our turnover automatically. Got it.
Definitely, yes. We should see the differences in the top line and bottom line both. We hope so.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kamal.
I request the participants to raise their hands for asking the questions. So the next question is, so with the legacy fixed price contracts, what is the residual exposures in the order book still not covered by the escalation clauses, and when does it fully roll off?
Okay, this is the new thing that we have started communicating with our customers. It has been in our vision to narrow down the customer baskets. We are looking at the customers who want a permanent solution for their problems and look their suppliers or the casting manufacturer as their business partner and not just for one-off projects. So what we have done is we have persuaded our customers to go for a price variation clause in all our orders, and this thing is taking effect slowly and steadily. We are getting some orders with the assurance that if there's any major changes in the raw material, they will support us. And right now, to put a number to it, that how much percentage we have been able to do it is difficult. Generally, in all the railway orders that we get directly from the Indian Railways, there is a price variation clause included in that, because those are long-term order of 1 year or so. So in those conditions, we are seeing those PVCs, but again, government sector PVC is not a real showcase of what is happening in the actual market. So they are not changing very much as per the market demands. So it is not helping us that much, but again, it's a support that we are getting from the government directly. So I will say around 20 to 30% of our orders have already been converted with this PVC, and we'll see that it gets up to at least 50% in the coming weeks or months, so that we don't face this kind of situation again.
Okay. So the next question is, the trade payables have jumped nearly 3x year-on-year basis. So is the company stretching the vendor payments to manage liquidity, or is there any vendor relation risk as a result?
I would not say directly that we are squeezing our vendors for this thing, but once the cash flow has declined a bit, so it puts pressure on the whole ecosystem. We have taken some advantage of our good credit limits that we have been offered to us by our regular vendors, and that has supported us. For that reason, this has gone a bit higher. And another point was that we were so regular in our payments earlier that if there has been some delays in our payment in the current in the last H2, so our vendors have supported us for that. So it's a cyclic thing. It happens sometimes in the middle of the half years, so we don't notice it that much, and because it gets resolved before the end of the half year. But this time it has occurred right at the end of the half year, so it is reflecting very highly in our balance sheet. But it's a regular working, and I don't think there is much issue in that.
Okay, so the next question is, so defense has been a strategically significant entry for ABBA Power. So it was a prototype order for two parts. So what is the timeline to productionization, and what revenue potential does management attribute to the defense vertical over the next 2 to 3 years?
Okay, again, a very difficult question to answer. Yes, defense has been our go-to sectors. We have been trying to enter the defense sector in for the past couple of years, but we didn't have those facilities or those experience or that adequate team with us to execute the projects earlier. Now we have achieved those background things that is required to enter the defense, and we have been lucky enough, or we have been proactive enough to get a push into the defense sectors by collecting two very good orders as the starting point for the defense sector. Right now, those orders are being in the production line. I think these orders would be completed by next month or next to next month. So, and after that, there is a field trial period for these orders. So these orders will be needed by the PSU to be operated for 3 to 4 months in the field. So that might take again 4 6 months. So I don't think we'll see anything in the this running half year or in the by the end of this financial year 26-27, we can see not much contribution coming from the defense sector. But next financial year onwards, we'll definitely see an uptick in the contribution from the defense sector. Again, I will not put a number to it, but it would be in a single digit only for the next 2 3 years. Post 3 years, we would really like to take it above in the double digit numbers. Let's see how we progress on that.
I would request the participants to raise their hand for asking the questions. So the next question we have is, sir, there's a customer concentration risk as Indian Railways appear to be the largest single end customer. So what percentage of revenue in H2 FY26 came from the railways versus diversified industrial segments?
Yeah, that's okay. Indian Railways, we counter them as two parts. One is supplies made directly to Indian Railways, and one is the supply made to the railway-based industries. So when we say that we are supplying directly to railways, the portion of our revenue coming directly from Indian Railways around 30 to 40%. Yeah, around 30% of our revenues are coming directly from the railways. For the railway-based industries, in which our ultimate customer is railway only, but our right now customer is an OEM who buys material from us and then assemble and then supply it to the final Indian Railways. Our contribution from the railway industries goes high to 70%. So that way we define this thing. 30 to 40%, 20 to 30% is the ratio what we are keeping for non-railway businesses, and that's the way I think it should continue for the next couple of years as well.
Okay. So the next question we have is, so what was the actual cost as a percentage of power cost as a percentage of revenue in H2 FY26 versus H2 FY25?
Power cost. Okay, so what we do is we generally pick this as around 6 to 8%, and since this has not changed for the power cost, the rates by the electricity board has not changed for the last 2 years, so I think it's the same percentage is there. Other than this, we have put our solar plant, and it is giving us a very good feedback. The power generation is good through our solar plant, but we don't substitute its cost from our cost of the products, as we are still paying its EMIs. So we are not getting a direct advantage of solar as of now, but maybe in couple of years later, when the EMIs have been paid, we'll see the full effect of it in our balance sheet. So right now, I'll say that it's 6 to 8%. I think it has been constant for the past 2 years.
I would request the participants to raise their hands for asking the questions. So the next question we have is, so the insert segment you mentioned saw price correction of around 20% for this half. So has this pricing been bottom out, or is there any further downside risk in H1 FY27 as well?
I would really like to say that yes, it has bottomed out. The rates have improved a bit in the coming in this current month, and a little bit in the previous month as well. But you never can say certainly for this kind of aspects that how the market is going to react for the next couple of months or couple of weeks. In fact, what is going on with the geopolitical situations, but I think it is safe to say that yes, it has bottomed out, and we're not seeing that it will go beyond what we have experienced in the past couple of months.
The next question is, we have, what is the split between the private and the government PSU sector as a percentage of our turnover last year and this year expected going forward?
Now, can you please repeat this thing? What is the percentage of?
What is the split between private and government sector as a percentage of our turnover last year and this year expected going forward?
Okay, for the whole year FY26. Okay. Again, there is a bit of fine line between what we are doing as a private supply and a government supply. Since we are mainly focused on railways, and it has been distributed over two parts, where we supply material directly to railways, and we are supplying to OEMs who are supplying to railways. So, supply to OEM, we are counting in the private only. So, our government direct supply has been around 30 to 40%, which is consistent with the last year, and I think it should be the same in the next coming year as well. So, we get around 60 to 70% of our revenue is going to the into the private sector, and in the coming year also, I feel that it's going to be the same. There's no much difference we can expect in the this financial year FY26-27, when you see for the split of the revenues from the private or government sector.
The next question we have is, so railway OEM standing orders have been logged in for two components. So what is the approximate annual run rate revenue from these orders, and how many additional OEMs qualifications are in the pipeline?
Okay, so for the these two orders that we have received, these two components that we have developed for a particular OEM, right now, the last year, its contribution was less than 5%, because it got approved in the later stages of the H2, and so we didn't see a significant contribution in the last financial year. But in this coming financial year, we are expecting this these two products to contribute more than 10 to 12% of our revenues. And we have approached the same OEM for a couple of more items that they think that is suitable for a foundry of our stature, and most probably we'll develop it in this financial year. Also, we have approached two more OEMs to develop their critical parts, and the talks are going on a good scale, and let's see, we are positive about the outcome, but I will not be able to say anything right now on that.
Okay, I would request the participants to raise their hands or type the question in the Q&A box for asking the questions. So the next question we have is, so what is the sustainable EBITDA margin we can expect for Abha?
Sustainable EBITDA margin. I don't understand. Sustainable.
What?
It's the environment. Okay. What is the appropriate or what is the predictable EBITDA margin for our? See, every company wants their EBITDA to be as high as possible. We had a not so good this half year, so our EBITDA has gone down a bit. And if you see the percentage wise, we always want it to be above around 20% or so, in the range of higher 15 to 20% range. So that is the ideal what we want to keep our EBITDA into. And most probably we'll try to achieve it in this financial year. Sorry. Chirag asked this question. Chirag, is this okay, or should I clarify it any further?
So the next question we have is, so what is the revenue growth we are anticipating this year?
Revenue growth, okay. Revenue growth, it should be higher in the double digit, of course, and it should be, we are trying not just lower double digit, but higher double digit. I will not be able to give you an exact thing number, but we are anticipating a good year to come, and most probably we'll get a good answer.
So the next question we have is, so consider with the ESG factor, can you explain if it is possible?
Linking ESG factor with EBITDA, I don't think where we are going with this, but we are an ESG compliant company. We have been we have produced solar energy. We are consuming solar energy. We have offtake a lot of our carbon consumption by using this solar energy. Right now we are using around 40% of our total electrical energy through our ongoing solar plant. Also, we have signed up to put up another 2.5 megawatt facility, which will further reduce our carbon print. And most probably in the next half or in this half only, we'll start our new 2.5 megawatt as well. So our total, in total, around 60% of our 60 to 70% of our total energy consumption would come from our own solar plant, which will further reduce our carbon requirement. We are using energy efficient equipments as many places as possible, and we are quite conscious with the ESG factors, and also our customers appreciate our efforts that we take for this ESG. Again, to connect it with EBITDA, I don't think ESG is making any dent in our EBITDA, and we don't consider the ESG factor as a detrimental to our EBITDA margins. We truly believe that we can be ESG compliant and good with ESG factors and still make a good EBITDA.
Okay. So the next question is from Miss Dia Jain. Yes, Dia, you can unmute yourself.
Sir, thank you for taking my question. So, what is the current order pipeline?
Yes, Dia, the currently order pipeline is between 20 to 22 CR. I think it was last 20.5 CR, if I'm not wrong. And it changes daily on the basis of what new orders we get and what orders we have dispatched. recently. So it is more or less in the line of 20 CR plus minus 20% or so. So it has been like that for the past couple of years or so, and we see that we're trying to improve it. Maybe we'll improve it in this current financial year.
So, have you signed any more orders or have you bidded for more orders, any tenders?
It is a continuous process there. We regularly get requests for quotation RFQs, and we have been participant in the tenders for I think we don't keep a tab on how much tenders we have participated, but we always look at that this order in hand figure should not go much down to our liking. And there are a lot of orders that we have recently accumulated, and we have posted all this in our portal as well. NSE portal, you can see the latest orders that we have received. In fact, some very good orders have come up in the past 20 days or 1 month or so. And yes, it is an ongoing process. We have participated in many big tenders as well, and their results are yet to come. So maybe we can publish some good news in the coming weeks or so. Let's hope so.
Okay, sir. And can you share the margins in the various products that we have, the inserts, the adapters?
We don't calculate separately margins in each of the products, but we have a fair bit of idea. Insert is a low margin product, so whenever the rates goes down, it pulls down the complete ecosystem of the company. That's why we, in the expansion mode, we have decided to go for a multiple product strategy rather than single product strategy. Adapters have a better realization and better margin product. And again, I will not put a number to it. And for all the other products, the margins varies from the product to product and from time to time. A product could be a good margin giving in a specific quarter, and it could be a loss making in the next quarter. So those things also happen in this market situation.
Okay, sir. And any targets for FY28?
Sorry, please repeat.
Any revenue or margin targets for FY28?
FY28. Okay. For FY28, I think what we have internally decided to go for at least a double digit rise in our top line as well as bottom line. And right, we'd like to maintain it that way. If we can achieve that, it would be a good thing to have.
Okay, sir, understood. Thank you and all the best.
So, as there are no further questions left, I would like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Okay, thank you everyone for this taking out time to attend our call. It has been an inspirational year for us. We have done a few great things, and few better things are possible in the current financial year. We are clear on our priorities, and we remain committed how to execute them. We look forward to share better numbers with you in this in the coming quarters or half years. Thank you. Thank you for your time. Over to you, Drishti.
Thank you everyone for joining us today. For any questions that remain unanswered, please feel free to write to us and we will be happy to respond. You may disconnect now. Thank you.